EW Podcast is
right.
Fierce, fierce, fierce.
I love this podcast.
Fierce, fierce. Weather, fierce. Food, fierce.
Hello and welcome back to EW's Quick Drag Podcast. We have a really special episode today, bringing you an exclusive interview with America's reigning drag superstar who, I mean, while she might have left her entire boba-themed lip-sync for the win look on stage like banana peels for Safira Kristal to slip on, one thing definitely did not slip through Nymphia Wynn's fingers, which is, of course, the season 16 crown. After an entire season of sending some of the most incredible looks the show has seen down the runway, Nymphia joined me for an interview exclusively immediately after she was crowned at a finale party in New York City. And it's a really great conversation. We talk about her relationship with Plain Jane, being the first East Asian winner the American version of the show has ever seen, and all the inspiration behind her lip sync to Kylie Minogue's Padam Padam on the final episode. So just like Candy Muse on the All Stars 8 Forensic Queens Challenge, answer the call of the banana as we talk with our crowned queen, Nymphia Wynn, coming up next. So, first of all, Nymphia, I just want to say congratulations. This has been a long time coming, and I really appreciate your time right now. So, you spoke a little bit about this before you won the episode, but being the first East Asian winner on the show, you also got emotional talking about representing your country while talking with your mom on the final episode. So what does this mean to you now that it is real? And why is that representation so important?
You know, East Asians or Asians in general in Western media isn't really represented that much. Like, think of a Asian pop star in Western culture. You can't really name one. Like, there's so few of them. And, like, Asians just don't really get represented that much. So it really meant a lot to, you know, hold that representation and hold that space in this competition. And, you know, just being on the main stage and seeing my mother there, I got really emotional because, you know, she doesn't live in America and she had to travel from Taiwan. And, you know, at that time when she was traveling, she was kind of, like, physically sick. So it was a lot for her to travel at that point, and she still made it. So, you know, you really see how supportive she really is and how much love she has for her child. And, you know, she'll do anything for me. And it's just like in that moment, seeing her sat right there, just looking at me was a lot. And then my best friend who was sitting next to her also meant a lot because she also traveled from Taiwan. And it's just like seeing how much they'll do for you. And it's just like really moving.
It was a very moving moment. I'm glad that you got to share that with so many people, because I think it's a really important bond to see. And you also spoke a few episodes ago about being bombarded with Western beauty standards, and that led you to not feel confident in your own appearance at the time. So what do you want to say to other kids who might feel that way now? And what does it feel like to have the validation of winning on this platform after going through that experience?
That is so deep. just as an Asian kids, I feel like being brought up in Asia, we're not taught to be very vocal or voice ourselves as much. We're always taught to be very subtle and quiet and just keep to ourselves. So, you know, that really is kind of my upbringing. So I'm not one to, you know, boast or like, I'm good at this and that, and this is what I can do. It's always like to the sideline. I'm very a wallflower kind of person. And, you know, self-confidence has always been a thing throughout my life. And, you know, even after winning, it still is. You know, you wake up some days and you're just not feeling yourself. But there are days where you wake up and feeling super confident. And so I feel like you just really have to remember to acknowledge the good and the bad and see it as a whole. When you have those bad days, always remember that the good days are going to come and the bad days are not forever. And just, you know, be graceful and to know that there are also people out there just like you, even though they may seem very confident in themselves. There are things inside a person that you have to find time to see. And, you know, winning and this validation is beyond, because I always wanted to be the first East Asian queen to win, and now I have achieved that. So I think maybe in the next few days, when I had a few days to rest, it'll like sit, and I'll like wake up one day and be like, holy shit, I just won season 16.
I was going to say, speaking of good days outweighing the bad days, I mean, this is definitely a very, very good day, and a lot of people are very, very happy for you. And this was, I mean, it's weird to think, but like, this was your first competitive lip sync on the show. So
I know.
It was for your last performance. So, and you did it as Boba Tea, which I loved. So can you explain mapping out your approach to this lip sync and what connection Boba has to Damn, Damn by Kylie Minogue?
So I obviously came here to represent my country, and I'm not going to do it by putting a flag on my dress. So boba tea is the national drink of Taiwan. We invented boba tea. Yep. Put that in your brain. So, you know, that was a way of being camp and still representing my country and finding a fun way to do this lip sync. Because I knew, you know, I was going up against the fear and plane. So I knew I had to be a pride float. Yeah, be a pride float. And, you know, bring something, because this is my first time lip syncing. So I really have to bring it and surprise people. So I'm glad, and hopefully I did bring it to everyone. And yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily matter what the song was. This is how you wanted to represent.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just wanted reveals upon reveals.
Yes.
Because, you know, designing clothes, I kind of like design the clothes into the performance. Like, it's kind of like tied together in a way.
Yes.
So when I heard Padam Padam, I was like, oh, thank God. It's a, for me, that would be a neutral song. Like, for instance, maybe, okay, Super Freaky, Nicki Minaj. That's a very specific kind of song. And then Padam Padam for me is just more neutral to be able to...
A canvas there.
Yeah.
Did you... I loved the balloons. I thought that that was so inventive. Did you have trouble, like, keeping them in while you were moving from backstage to the
Mama,
stage?
Mama, did you see the waddle? I had helium in there, so they don't really fall from the bottom. It was just like they were floating. But I did have to blow them up twice before the lip sync, so it was really stressful to do. And yeah, the cape was heavy enough to really hold everything in. Inside the cape, my hands were shutting it tight so that it doesn't leak, you know? It was crazy. And there were fucking stairs behind those stairs, so that was a hurdle. I had to, like, have people, like...
Oh my gosh.
It was a trip to the stage.
I don't want to laugh at that, but I do want to laugh at that. That's actually
it is
really
very
funny,
to be honest, seeing that.
And also seeing the pile of things that you just left around the stage. I was like, was this strategy?
That was
like,
strategy.
Was that
so Sophia
banana peels?
Could potentially slip. Yes. No.
It wasn't? No. Okay.
Banana peels. 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 Yeah, I was peeling a lot, to be honest.
You were. What was the first lip sync on the episode to the original song? What was the inspiration there? Can you explain, like, the flags and the mask that you came out wearing?
Oh, my solo performance song. So... for that song, Queen of Wind, I was thinking of, you know, being weighed down by weights and, you know, eventually unburden yourself and be free and just aspire to be free like the wind. So the tiger mask and that costume is traditional Peking opera general outfits. And that mask is basically, for me, a fantasy character, but inspired by rich Peking opera traditional Asian Chinese culture. So that was basically a tiger general, and that tiger general was shot by a lot of arrows, so she's kind of like worn down, still battling, and then to tear away from that and to become the Queen of Wind. You know, it's kind of like a metaphor of, you know, shedding your self-doubt or whatnot.
Uh-huh. No, it was a very beautiful performance, too. I mean, I like that you told a story from... because I was, you know, I didn't have those that awareness of what that meant at the start, so I'm glad that you clarified that. And... because you didn't get to lip sync until the finale, like, I'm curious to know, did you go into the show, because I did my research on you before the first interview we did. Just some of the things I found out about you, I loved so much. Did you bring anything to the show, like, if you thought, okay, if I'm going to have to lip sync, I'm going to do this gag or this gag, but because you didn't lip sync, you didn't get a chance to do it?
I think I was more focused on getting my package together, because I was making a lot of it. So I didn't really think about what I would have done in a lip sync, because I'm a very spontaneous, in-the-moment kind of performer. So I guess if it came to that, I had to lip sync for my life, I would just, you know, let it all hang out and just go wild.
You would have found some balloons to blow up.
Yes, I would have done something.
Yes.
She got tricks. Because, you know, wind in Mandarin calligraphy is... also, it can mean crazy. Feng is like wind, but it can also mean crazy in the same... what's that word? Same sound? Same pronunciation. So my performance style is just very wild and crazy, and you never know what to expect.
I was going to say, I did not. If you would have asked me to narrow down like three potential scenarios for what you would have done in that final lip sync, this would not have been one of them. And I think that it was, and even the lip sync that you did to Marry the Night at this event here, I was just like, what is she doing? Okay, she's over at the window. She's posing for a selfie.
She's gone with the wind.
Very much so. Very much so. Now, I also want to talk a little bit about your relationship with Plane on the show. It had a lot of fans talking. I don't know if you saw a few weeks ago, Dawn told me in her exit interview that she started the rumor that you two, as she put it, were fucking. And she never said the G at the end of that, which I always found hilarious. But Plane, then when I interviewed her, she said that you weren't. So what did you think of that rumor? And were you aware that Dawn had started that rumor?
I mean, Mama, before we were announced, Plane came to Taiwan. And when we got together, Dawn was like, did you guys fuck? I was like, what are you talking about? No, we didn't. Well, Dawn is just going to be a little evil elf. Let her be. Let her have her moment. But I'll keep the audience guessing if me and Plane are a thing. So stay tuned.
So you listened to Matt Rogers' interview advice when he was like telling the queens, don't say anything juicy.
Yeah, you gotta edge them. You gotta edge them.
Oh, yeah. When did you find out that Plane had voted you low on Raid a Queen, though? And what did you think about that?
Oh, Mama, that was, like, mid-season. Like, yeah. I didn't even realize when I was talking to her. I was just, like, you know, guessing, like, oh, did you vote me last? Like, I didn't even know. It was mid-season. She kind of, like, came clean. I was like, bitch. Bitch. But I'm kind of glad because, like, in a sense, I didn't have to lip sync. So, like, it was a mystery package. Like, no one saw my lip sync ability, so I was like, maybe it worked in my favor. So
till the end of the season, yes. I just have two more quick questions for you. Who did you vote for Miss Congeniality?
I voted for Hershey first, and then Plane walked up to me and was like, Vozunami, Vozunami, Vozunami. I was like, okay, I'll put her second.
So if you had voted for Hershey, it wouldn't have been a tie. It would have gone to Safira. Right?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah.
And who would you have voted for if the Golden Boot was an award this year? Oh, no.
A few.
A few golden boots.
Can I only say one?
Yeah.
Okay. So many to pick from. I would have to give it to Hershey. I'm sorry. Actually, no.
For the pants?
Hershey had a character.
She did. Mama Hershey.
Okay, she's going to hate me for this.
Oh, no.
Geneva, I'll make clothes for you.
Geneva, Golden Boot winner. Okay, I promise. Last question. What do you want to do with this title? Like, in terms of social impact, your career, where does Nymphia go from here?
Mama, I just want to be Jane Goodall's friend. No, you know, I'm going to make this world more yellow and bananas. And there's so much you could do. Like, I really want to venture out into performance art. Like, maybe FKA Twigs collaboration.
Put it out there. Put it
maybe out there. Marina Abramovic collaboration. I just, like, for me, this is such a good platform to be able to collab. And I feel like there's so much magic and creation in collaboration. So I'm looking forward to that.
Weird to ask if Jane Goodall has reached out to you. She... You called her?
No, I'm going to be on a call with her tomorrow after Good Morning America.
Have to let me know
honestly,
how that goes.
I'm sorry, no tea, no shade. I was more excited for that.
Oh my god! So you have a call scheduled with Jane.
Yes.
Oh my god! That is so.
Yes.
Great. Please let me know how that goes.
She knows my existence. I'm gagged.
Yes, that's incredible. All right, Nymphia, thank you so much for your time, and I really—it's been so amazing watching
thank
you this season.
You.
And congratulations, and all the best
to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Quick Drag is an Entertainment Weekly podcast hosted and produced by Joey Nolfi and Jillian Cederholm, produced and edited by Sammy Junio. Thanks for listening.
There's weather. Cloudy weather. Ooh!